This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, and the Spotify podcast Erotica Taboo Podcast for more intense sexual themes. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer $2 subscriptions, which opens up bonus content. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction, with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. Accidents by Blackran, 1958. Oakley Sampson strolled down to the water, the sound of the surf filling her ears. There was a little swell, but not enough for body surfing, she decided. She walked back to her beach umbrella and rummaged around in her bag. She pulled out a snorkel mask and some fins. She carried them over to the lagoon's side and put them on. Easing into the cool water, she put her face in and swam for the reef. The fish were out in profusion, and she swam with the schools. A big crab was scuttling along, and she teased it, careful to avoid the big pincher it had. She dove for an hour and swam back to the beach. There weren't many people there on a Tuesday, and she had the area pretty much to herself. She ate her sandwich and drank a bottle of water. The rest of the afternoon she spent with the fish or reading her book, and when she had enough she stood under the shower for a few minutes, rinsing off the salt. She put her bag in the trunk and climbed in her charger. She pulled onto the highway, winding along the shore. She felt something cold on her leg and looked down. She was holding her insulated cup between her thighs and it was leaking. She adjusted it so that it wasn't leaking. She felt a thump and heard a crash. She wasn't going very fast, maybe 25, but it was enough to send the bicycle and its rider flying into the grass at the side of the road. Oakley screeched to a stop on the shoulder, jumped out and ran back to where a young man lay on the grass holding his leg. "Oh my God, are you okay?" she asked. "I'm so sorry. Are you hurt badly?" He looked up at her. The first thing she noticed were his intensely gray eyes. They had pain in them and his light eyebrows were drawn together in a frown. He was very good looking for a white boy, she thought. "I'm not hurt bad," he said. "I think I may have a broken leg. Jesus, I'm so sorry," she said again. "What were you doing?" he asked. "Tell me you weren't texting." "No, I wasn't, I swear. I was holding a drink between my legs and it was spilling on me. I only looked down for a second. I'm so sorry." "Yes, I know. You keep telling me. It's okay, I forgive you. It could happen to anyone. I've done that before. Help me up." She put her hand out, and he took it. His hand swallowed hers, and when he stood up, he towered over her. She looked up at him. "Well, you're very tall when you aren't lying on the ground," she said. "Can you walk?" "Let's find out," he said. "Can I lean on you?" She moved close, and he put his arm around her shoulders. He resisted the impulse to stroke the silky skin of her bare shoulder. He put some weight on his leg and winced. "It's broken," he said. "It isn't badly broken, but I'm not going to walk home. Help me over to my bike." The bike was a mess. It had a composite frame and it was broken. The rims were bent and it was obviously ruined. "It looks like a nice bike," she told him. "Did you love it?" "No, it's replaceable," he told her. "It was a good bike and I enjoyed riding it. I can get another bike. Is your car damaged?" Oakley helped him hobble to the charger, and they looked at the hood. There were a couple of scratches that she thought would buff out easily. "What are we going to do?" she asked him. "What do you mean?" he asked. "Do you want to call the police?"
"Why?"
"They would probably tase or shoot one of us. The only problem is my bike." "What if I buy you another one?" she asked. "Okay, that takes care of that problem. I have another one though. I think I need to go to the hospital. I have insurance," she said. "I'll take you. We'll have to tell them I hid you though." "I don't want to do that," he said. "I have insurance too. We'll just tell them I had a bike wreck. It has the virtue of being true. Do you know, I don't even know your name? I'm sorry, I'm Oakley Sampson." She held out her hand. He took it firmly.
"Grayson Stokes," he said.
"Hell of a first impression you make, Oakley." His smile that lit up those amazing gray eyes took the sting out the words. She laughed. "This is how I get dates. I hit them with my car. Your bike is junk, Grayson. I'll put the back seats down and we'll throw it in. If you'll let me take you to a bike shop, I'll get you a new one. Hospital first, then bike shop," he said. "My leg is hurting like hell." He held onto the car and hopped along to the door, letting himself in while she put the ruined bike in the trunk. She drove him to the nearest hospital and stayed with him in the emergency room. She found out that he was a marine biologist with the University of Hawaii. She told him that she was in international business and worked for Cisco. Neither one of them were married and they actually lived close to one another, in Waipahu. He didn't surf, but he did dive, both scuba and free diving. "I'm surprised that you swim," he said. She looked up at him and saw that he was grinning at her.
"Ha ha, so funny," she said.
"You mean on account of how black people can't swim?" she laughed.
I'm glad you laugh about stuff like that, he said. Why? Why would you give a damn what I think? Well, we are going on a date, he said. Hell, we are. She looked at him. What made you think that? You hit me with your car, he said. That's the way you get dates. That's what you told me. Oakley laughed for a long time. You're a clown, dude. You make me laugh. Thanks for not being a tool about me hitting you. I'm really so sorry about that. You can tell me more about it on our date, he said. I'm not going on a date with you, she told him. Why not? He asked. Well, let's see, I have a boyfriend, I don't know you, I don't date white boys and you don't surf. I'm sure I'll think of more in a minute. Why would I? Well, I'm young, relatively well off, single, I have no hideous disfigurements. I have an extensive knowledge of local hotspots, I'm not a racist like some I could mention, and you did hit me with your car. I'm not a racist, she said. I can't believe you said that. Let's see, one of the reasons you won't go out with me is because I'm a white boy. That seems at least eccentric to me. I would understand if some white guy walked up to you on the street and asked you out. You might he had some kind of twisted thing for black girls. Or he might just think you're beautiful, interesting, have a fantastic laugh, beautiful eyes, a propensity to hit people with your car and not care at all if you're a little green girl from Mars. That made her laugh again. There it is, he said. I just want to say something funny so I can listen to you laugh. Jesus, you know how to turn on the charm, Grayson. Okay, I guess I owe you. I did break your leg and smash your bike. I'll go out with you once. Bike shop first, then go out, he said. Well, actually cast first. They were in the emergency room for 4 hours before they actually got the cast on and checked out. I'm just glad I wasn't having a heart attack, he said. If it takes that long for people that have real emergencies, they're pruning the population pretty quickly. I'm sorry you had to wait so long, Oakley. The bike shop is closed. Maybe we should wait for another day for the date, too. My leg hurts like hell and I'm sore all over. I feel like I've been mugged. I don't think I'm cut out for a job as a crash dummy. That might be best. I still don't know how I'm going to explain you to my boyfriend. Do you live together? No, but he wants to. I understand. Why mention me at all? It's one date. If we go on three, you should mention me. Otherwise, it's just a laugh, right? I guess. I'll drive you home, Grayson. You can call me when you're feeling better and we'll talk about the other stuff. She drove him home and found out where he lived. Jesus, Grayson, is that your car? She asked when they pulled up. What is it? Same thing you're driving, he said. But from 1968. It's a Charger RT. Mine's not quite as quick as your RTS-8, but it's a blast to drive and it sounds better than yours. Can we take it when we go out? She asked. I love old muscle cars. You're an unusual girl, Oakley, he said. You'll have to drive it. It's a 4-speed and I won't be able to shift very well. I'm so sorry, Grayson, she told him again. I've just screwed up your life for a while. How will you get around? Stop apologizing, Oakley, he said. It was an accident. I'll be fine. I have a Mini with a British wheel. Give me your number and I'll call. Oakley watched as he went up the sidewalk on his crutches. He unlocked the door and turned to wave at her. She lifted her hand and backed out. Oakley was feeling very confused as she drove away. Very few people she had ever met had affected her like Grayson had in the short time she had been with him. She hadn't wanted to go out with him, but now she did, very badly. They had talked more in the half a day they had been together than she had with Marcus in the last 6 months. She had been feeling less and less satisfied with her boyfriend for a while. His inability to keep a job worried her. He had half a dozen in the 8 months she had known him. She had gotten him 3 of them, and he always got fired. It was never his fault, according to him. He wouldn't show up for work on time, called in sick constantly and hung out with his boys, and did a bare minimum when he was there. His lack of interest in all the things she loved and his drug use were becoming huge in her mind. The sex was great, but it was hard to get motivated to have sex with someone who wouldn't talk about anything but sex, drugs, and music. At 25, she was well on her way to realizing dreams she had cherished ever since she was a little girl. The problem was, she was leaving behind most of the cultural things that had been such an important part of her life for years. Now she knew Grayson, and she felt like she had never met anyone to whom she was so strongly attracted. She had a lot of trouble falling asleep that night as her mind raced. She got up and drank a glass of wine. A comedy routine on TV diverted her thoughts, and she fell asleep quickly when she went back to bed. The next morning he texted her. Hope your day is as good as mine is going to be thinking about Saturday. Oakley was thrilled and she didn't want to be. Her fingers were moving before she knew it, and she sent him back a smiley face. She flew to Seattle on Wednesday and didn't get back home until Friday afternoon. Grayson had texted her every day, only once a day, and kept her thinking about him. She had kept him informed of her schedule, and she hadn't been home 30 minutes when the doorbell rang. It was a delivery man and he had a package for her. When she opened it, she laughed. He had gotten her 3 t-shirts. They all had something funny about surfing on them. There was a note that said, I wish I was there to hear you laugh. This was a hugely romantic guy, she thought. She couldn't remember looking forward to anything more than their date the next day. He picked her up at 2:30 in the afternoon, and he was driving the Charger. He could shift awkwardly, but he slid over and she drove. He brought her a big candy bar, and she gave him a quick hug. He thought she was stunning. Her hair was a mass of shining ringlets, and she had on a red top and black pants. He took her to a coffee shop and they played Scrabble together, arguing like children over made-up words. It was the most fun on a date she could ever remember. It was dinner time when they left, and he took her to a culinary school where they learned to cook paella using chicken and rabbit. They sat at a small table off the kitchen and ate their creation. Oakley thought it was very good. After dinner she drove to the famous waterfall and pool, and they sat in folding chairs he had in the trunk. He took out two sketchbooks and pencils. They drew the waterfall and he got two strangers to look at their sketches and tell them which was best. They both chose Oakley's and he laughed.
"You're just more beautiful than me," he chuckled. "There was no way they were going to pick mine after they saw you."
He took her to a psychic and they had their tarot cards read. They got a kick out of discussing their reading on the way home and telling each other why they were wrong all the way back. When they pulled up in her driveway, she didn't want it to end.
"We didn't go to the bike shop," she said.
"No,"
he said. "I've decided to give up biking and take up surfing. I live in Hawaii and it would be a waste to never learn to surf. I need lessons and I know this beautiful little girl I'm hoping will give me a lesson. I'm going to need a board though, and I have no idea what to buy."
Oakley was touched.
"Okay, Grayson, I'll help you buy a board. Next Saturday?"
he asked.
"Okay, next Saturday. How are you going to surf with a cast on your leg?"
"I can't, but I can get a board and I can watch you. I'll get some ideas about the theory.
Pick you up at 2:30?
Oakley wanted him to kiss her. He didn't show any signs of wanting to come in, so she waited. He came around on his crutches and opened her door. When she stood up, he wrapped her in his arms and squeezed her.
"I had fun, Oakley," he told her. "You're a great girl."
He tilted her head up and she offered him her lips. He kissed her deeply, but didn't press her.
"Thanks, Grayson," she told him. "I had a great time. This was the best date I've ever been on. You've got imagination. Most guys take me to dinner and a movie. I like that, but this was better. Keep asking me, okay?"
He watched her walk up the sidewalk, her slender form but moving under the black slacks. She looked back and smiled at him. He lifted his hand and she waved as she went inside. Oakley didn't return any of Marcus' calls or texts that week. He was angry and called her a bitch and a hoe on voicemails. She sent him a text telling him she was moving on and he shouldn't call her anymore. He left one more profanity-laced message, and she breathed a sigh of relief that he was out of her life. Her week passed quickly and she found herself thinking about Grayson every morning when she awakened. He texted her every day, just some funny little message, and she looked forward to getting them. She called him 3 times and they talked on the phone for hours. On Friday, she got another package. This time it was a pair of Tory Burch, Miller's sandals. Oakley knew how much those cost him, and she loved them. She was wearing them, along with a bikini and a semi-transparent, tie-dyed wraparound when he picked her up on Saturday. She slipped behind the wheel and he gave her directions. They pulled up in front of a large used bookstore. He gave her $50.
"I want you to buy a book for me that you think I should read," he told her. "I'm going to get one for you, too."
Oakley was enchanted with the idea and spent an hour finding the perfect book. It was hard to choose, but she finally settled on Soul on Ice, by Eldridge Cleaver.
"I think this is essential reading to realize what being black in America is like," she told him. "My experience is better than that, but it's a microcosm. I want you to understand, Grayson. I want you to understand me. I want to understand you, Oakley. I'll read it this week."
He bought her Atlas Shrugged, by Ayn Rand.
"I just think it's a great read," he said. "And it starts to explain my philosophy of life. It all starts with Ayn Rand."
She promised to start it Monday.
"I'm flying to LA," she said. "I'll read the whole way on the plane."
She took him to the surf garage to look at boards. They knew Oakley there, and they got Grayson hooked up with a beautiful board from Chris Christensen. He loved it, and Oakley bought it for him.
"I know this didn't cost as much as your bike," she told him. "I still owe you. You're going to give me surfing lessons," he told her. "We'll call it good."
She drove them to Diamond Head Lighthouse and they walked down to the beach. Oakley carried her board and a folding chair. She got him sitting in the chair and went back to get her bag. He was handicapped by his crutches, but he put them by his chair and watched her. She wasn't really thinking about it when she handed him her wrap. She put sunblock on and he watched in fascination as she smoothed the lotion into her long caramel-colored legs.
"Why do you wear sunblock?"
he asked her. She laughed.
"I may be brown, but I'd be charcoal if I didn't. Black people burn and tan just like white people. I like my skin without melanoma, thanks."
She had on a yellow string bikini, and he thought she was the most beautiful girl he had ever seen. He could see all that firm-toned flesh, and her ass was something out of fever dreams. Her hips were slender, and those small firm round cheeks made him want to reach out and squeeze one. Oakley glanced over at him, and she felt shy, like a high school girl going to prom. She felt her nipples stiffen, and she knew he could see them in profile as she rubbed the sunblock into her tummy.
"Stop staring, Grayson, you're embarrassing me," she said.
"I can't help it," he said.
"God, you're gorgeous, Oakley. If you come and stand in front of me, can I touch you?"
"No,"
she said. "I mean, you can touch me, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not a stuffed toy."
He thought her bikini was pretty well stuffed. Her breasts weren't huge, but he could tell they were full and heavy. Her nipples were visibly erect, and he wanted to pinch one between his fingers. She picked up her board and walked to the water. Her hips rolled and her ass jiggled as she walked.
She could feel his eyes on her and felt her pussy moisten at the thought that he found her beautiful. She pushed the thought aside as she paddled out to the break. When she got the break time, she wrote it in. It was a long one, and she had a great time. She caught a dozen more and then paddled back into him. She put her board down and he offered her a beer. When she came close, he caught her and pulled her down on his lap. She stiffened up a little and then relaxed, snuggling into his arms.
"You are amazing, Oakley," he told her. "Do you compete?"
"No, I'm not interested in that. I am pretty good, but I don't do the extreme stuff. I want to have fun, not break my neck out on the pipeline. If you're going to do crazy stuff, I won't teach you. I'm going to do crazy stuff, but it doesn't involve surfing," he told her. She looked up at him, and he drowned in those big brown eyes. They had flecks of amber in them and sparkled in the sun.
"What crazy stuff are you going to do?" she asked.
"I'm going to keep asking you out," he told her. "I'm going to take you sailing to Lanai. I'm going to climb the volcano on the big island with you, and I'm going to take you windsurfing. After every one of those, I'm going to take you home with me. Do you know what we're going to do there?"
"Tell me,"
she whispered, her eyelids heavy and half closed. "I'm going to take you to bed, and it's going to be the most spiritual and erotic thing I've ever done," he said. His hand was on the bare skin of her tummy, and he was tracing designs around her little navel. She watched, paralyzed, as it moved up over her ribs and onto the material of her bikini. The contrast between his tanned white hand and her dark caramel skin made her shiver. His finger traced around one prominent nipple, and she shuddered. His touch was so gentle and loving, like nothing she had ever experienced before. She was very horny, and it had been a long time since she wanted someone like she did Grayson. She wanted him to fuck her. The desire washed over her, and she pressed her hand on his, pulling it firmly into the breast he was teasing. She offered him her lips and moaned into his mouth as he kneaded the firm flesh of her breast under his hand.
"First, I'm going to take you home with me," she whispered. "We're going to take a shower together, and then you're going to spend the night with me.
What about your boyfriend?" he asked between kisses.
"You're my boyfriend," she said. "I got rid of the other one."
"Really?" He pulled away and looked into her eyes.
"Yes, I just have room for you in my life," she told him.
"Let me up and I'll show you." He raised his hands and she packed up their stuff.
"What are we going to do about your cast?"
she asked him on the way to the car.
"I forgot about that. Can you shower?"
"No, I just stay sweaty," he laughed.
"I've been putting a garbage bag over it in the shower. Do you have a garbage bag?"
"Yes," she said.
"Can we swing by your house and get you some clothes? I want you to stay with me tomorrow. Will you go to church with me? Do you go often?"
he asked.
"Yes, that's part of that black experience I want you to know about."
"Then I'd love to go. What will your friends think about you bringing me?"
"I don't give a damn what they think," she said.
"They'll think it's odd. I've never dated a white boy before. They'll just have to get used to it, or I'll make different friends.
What will your friends think about me?"
"They'll think I'm the luckiest dog on earth," he laughed. "They'll think it's odd at first. I've never dated a black girl before, but most of my friends are guys. They don't think like girls. They'll wish they were me. My few friends that are girls will hate you. You're so gorgeous and sexy that they won't like you at first. Once they get to know you, they'll wish they were me, too."
"Jesus, Grayson, do you have a bunch of lesbian friends?"
"No, just a couple, but that's not what I meant," he laughed. "They'll wish they could be around you and be your friend like I am.
I don't just want to fuck you, Oakley. I want us to be friends. I love being around you. Even if you never sleep with me, I just like to hang out with you. I've never known anyone like you before."
Oakley melted inside.
"I like being your friend, Grayson. You're the most interesting person I've ever met. I do want to fuck you, though. I want to take you home and sit on that dick."
He laughed, and they pulled up in front of his house. They went inside, and he showed her around. He painted and he had a little studio.
"You drew bad so I could win at the waterfall," she accused him.
"You're a very good artist, Grayson," she said as she looked at his paintings.
"I'd like to paint you," he told her.
"Will it be a nude?" she asked.
"I don't think I'd ever get any painting done if you were in here naked," he laughed.
"Speaking of which, we have an appointment in your shower." He picked up clothes, packed his shaving kit, and she carried them to the car. She parked his car in her driveway and carried his clothes inside while he followed her on his crutches. She hung them up and went to the kitchen to find garbage bags. She was starting to itch from the salt on her skin and wanted to shower, badly. Grayson followed her to the bathroom, and she made him sit in a small chair there while she took off his clothes. His shorts and t-shirt were a little wet from where she had sat on him at the beach. She unbuttoned them, opened the zipper, and he lifted his butt so she could get them off. He had on boxers, and they were tented obscenely.
"Is that for me?" she asked.
"I think it is," he chuckled.
"It's been like that since the minute I met you.
Well, at least after I got out from under your car.
You're so mean," she giggled.
"I can't believe you brought that up." She pulled his shirt over his head and looked at him. Damn, she thought. The man was nice. He had huge arms and his traps rose up like mountains. She squeezed his pecs. They were very large and he flexed them, making them dance under her hand.
"What the hell?" she gasped. "I've never seen anyone who could do that before. You have to teach me that trick."
Her hands slid down over his abs and she grasped the waistband of his boxers. When she pulled on them, he raised his butt again. They hung on the hardness of his erection for a moment, then slid free.
His cock sprang up, slapping Oakley on the chin. The boxers fell to the floor, forgotten as she stared, mesmerized at the sight of his cock. She had never seen a white cock before, at least not in the flesh, so to speak. It looked very big. She had heard all her life about how small white men were. It was obviously a lie, at least it was with Grayson. The shaft towered out of a pair of delicious-looking balls. He was clean-shaven and the huge purple head of his circumcised cock looked like a baseball to Oakley. She had thought Marcus had a big cock, but she had never expected anything like this. She had been just hoping not to be too disappointed. This was intimidating.
Jesus, Grayson,
she said. How do you walk around with that damn thing? I don't know about this, baby. I've never had anything that size in me. Don't hurt me, okay? I'd rather eat nails, he told her. Have I ever been rough with you, Oakley?
No, just don't start now.
You could injure someone with that. Grayson pulled her close so he could reach her. He untied the wrap and she stood in front of him in her bikini. He pulled the bow at her back and the top dropped to the floor. Her luscious breasts fell out. They were a shade lighter than her caramel skin, a coffee with lots of cream color. Her areolas were small for the size of her breasts, barely bigger than a quarter. Her nipples were small, too, just little pencil eraser size nubs, a milk chocolate color, capping the tip of each breast. Her breasts were full and heavy, the bottom swelling and the nipples high, tilting slightly upward. He palmed them and gently pinched her nipples. She moaned and he let his hands slide down over the dramatic swell of her hips to pull the bows at her sides. She had a tiny sunburst tattoo in the hollow of one hip where the bikini had hidden it. She had a neatly trimmed strip of black tight curls, and below that the most beautiful pussy lips Grayson had ever seen. The lips were fat and bare, the skin silky and a little darker than her thighs. He could see dusky inner lips and a hint of pale pink showing inside. She knelt in front of him and slipped the garbage bag over his cast. Pulling on the drawstring, she tied it tightly just below his knee. She pulled him to his feet, and he wrapped one arm around her naked shoulders. His touch made her shiver and she helped him into the shower. They took turns washing each other, their hands exploring the unfamiliar territory, and Oakley was so horny she couldn't stand still. She rubbed her thighs together, feeling the wetness of her pussy that had nothing to do with the shower. He soaped up her breasts, turning her so that her back was against him. She felt his cock slide between her ass cheeks, under her and over her slick pussy lips between her thighs. He squeezed and kneaded her breasts, pinching her nipples firmly and stretching them out until they slid from his fingers, slippery with soap. He washed her back and knelt, soaping up the most fantastic ass he had ever seen. He spread her cheeks and soaped up the little brown rosebud, rubbing it firmly as she shuddered under the sensation. When he turned her around, he kept kneeling and washed her pussy, his fingers sliding between the dusky inner lips and up over her clitoris. She moaned, thrusting toward him, and he rinsed away the soap. She could feel his hot breath on her pussy, and when his tongue came out and tickled her clitoris, she groaned and held his head in her hands. He parted her lips with his tongue and lapped at her inner lips, penetrating her entrance before moving up over the small labia. She continued to moan and push her little pussy against his tongue. Oakley loved having her pussy eaten, but most of her previous boyfriends hadn't cared for it much. Grayson seemed to love it, too, as his tongue pushed firmly against her clit. He teased it out of hiding, and it elongated and stiffened under his touch. He circled it with his tongue, firmly stroking the base and moving upward to flick at the engorged head. He felt her thighs begin to tremble and her belly sucked in and out with her arousal. The trembling became more pronounced, and he felt her body tense. He cupped her ass in his big hands and pulled her into him as the warm water cascaded over them. He sucked the clitoris and hood into his mouth and attacked it with his tongue, flicking it rapidly back and forth, and Oakley moaned loudly. She could feel the tension building, centered on her clitoris. When she felt his long finger slip between her lips and plunge deeply inside her, the feelings emanating from her pussy became overwhelming. She groaned and pushed herself against him. She felt his finger curling up inside her, and he touched something that she had never felt before. There was a spot inside her that he was tickling that drove her wild. She felt the sensation flash over her, setting her on fire, and the tension that had been building in her body exploded, the most powerful orgasm she had ever felt, causing her to thrust wildly against his hand and mouth. She convulsed, causing him to lose contact with his lips, but his finger continued to drive into her, keeping her coming and tickling that spot with fire. She thought she was going to pass out, her blood pounding and her breath coming in gasps. She twisted her hips, trying desperately to escape his finger in her.
Stop, Grayson, she begged. Please, that was so good, but you're killing me. I'm going to pass out. Please, let me rest for a minute.
He slowly withdrew his finger and stood up, wrapping her in his arms and cradling her head against his chest. Her mop of wet black ringlets were cradled in one hand, and Grayson thought she looked adorable. Her features had that slack look of prolonged sexual excitement, and her eyes were half closed as she shuddered against him. Oakley could feel his erection throbbing between her legs, and she wanted him inside her. She let him hold her for a long time while her breathing slowed and her racing heart eased. She looked up at him, and he kissed her passionately. They held the kiss for a long time until she broke it and turned off the water. They dried each other off, and she helped him hobble to her bed. She climbed in on top of him, and he held her little body in his arms. They cuddled and kissed for a long time, whispering to each other. Little love things and sexy things as they nuzzled and kissed one another. He rolled her over and lay over her.
No, Grayson, I want to blow you, she said.
Maybe later, he told her.
I want to be inside you. I need to make love to you, Oakley. I want slow and sweet right now. We can do hot and nasty later, okay?
She nodded. Okay, Grayson, but I want that big cock in my mouth. I'm going to love that.
She felt him move down, and his cock slid down over her clit, through her pussy lips and lodged at her entrance. Her pussy was dripping wet, and the huge head slid easily through her lips and inside her. She gasped and stiffened as her little pussy lips stretched around him.
Wait, baby. She pushed at him. Jesus, that's huge. Let me get used to it a minute. Damn, you've got a big cock. Just wait a second.
She drew a deep, shuddering breath and pulled at him. He moved deeper, sliding into her in a long, slow plunge. She felt him sinking into her, and it felt so hot, burning her to the core. She felt her pussy expanding, fluttering around the cock inside her. He was deeper inside her than anything she had ever felt, and the girth of this invader was stretching her wider than she had ever believed possible. She felt him push even deeper, and she began to panic a little.
Grayson, wait a minute. I need to rest again. She begged. Jesus Christ, baby, how much more is there?
Almost there. He said.
If you can't take it, that's okay. This feels fantastic now.
You're so tight and hot, Oakley. Your pussy is so sweet. Do you want to just make love with this?
It was starting to feel amazing inside her, as she began to cope with the sensation of being stuffed so full. She wanted it all, but she was afraid.
Just use this for a minute. She moaned. Give me this and then you can go deeper after we get going.
He drew back a few inches and then reoccupied the conquered territory again. He did it again and they found a rhythm as he moved inside her. She could feel her pussy lips being dragged out, clinging to the shaft inside her as he withdrew and pushing back inside as he thrust. The sensation was driving her wild. His cock was scraping over her little clit, and she was rapidly rising to orgasm. His thrusts began going deeper, and she felt the head of his cock bump against the back of her pussy as his pelvic bone began to rub against her clit. He was all the way inside her, and the feeling of being stuffed with that cock was driving her over the edge. She felt a scream boil up from inside her as her thighs trembled, and her body attempted to bridge up off the bed. Her orgasm swept over her like a tidal wave, and she heard Grayson moaning over her.
Oh God, baby. She screamed.
Fuck, I'm coming.
Oh Jesus, Grayson, oh my God, I'm coming. Coming so hard.
Oh, fuck. Come with me. She felt his cock swell even larger, and then he was coming in her, the hot, ropeous streams bathing her cervix and soothing the chafed walls of her little pussy. She exploded all over again when she felt his cum splashing inside her, and she writhed in passion as she continued to come, over and over, her body thrashing without control under him. She gave tongue to her pleasure, moaning and crying out as the contractions rippled through her pussy. He pushed deep, holding fully sheathed inside her, and she felt her pussy contracting around his cock, milking him for the last few drops of cum.
Oh God. She panted. That was the most amazing thing. Damn, you're a good lover, Grayson. You made me come like a firecracker. I've never come like that with anyone. I'm worn though, baby. Jesus, I feel like I've been swimming for 100 miles.
God, that was good. She pulled him down so she could kiss him, her full, luscious lips crushed under his chest. She could feel him slowly deflating inside her and he rolled off, pulling her to spoon against him and entering her from behind with his still semi-erect cock.
I like to be inside you. He said.
If we go to sleep, I want to sleep inside you. I'll stay kind of hard like this for a long time.
He wrapped her in his arms, and she sighed with contentment, as she felt his hand cupping one big breast. He nibbled on the back of her neck, and she giggled. His mouth was next to her ear, and he whispered in it.
Oakley, I think I'm in love with you.
She turned to look at him, her dark eyes liquid pools.
I know. She whispered. I think I'm in love with you, too. I never intended this to happen, Grayson. I'm so glad I ran over you.
He shouted with laughter.
Yeah, me too. You can run over me anytime as long as it ends up here.
Oakley relaxed, loving the feeling of his cock inside her. Her eyes closed and she drifted off, looking forward to waking up in his arms. The end. You have been listening to this podcast on the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts, their links are in the description of this episode. The Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer $2 subscriptions, which opens up bonus content.